Just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you this night. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here once again. Lord, we just thank you for the challenge Brother Joe has given us. Lord, we know it's from you. Lord, I just pray that you give me the words to say tonight. Lord, that it be from you and not of myself. Lord, I just ask you to bless this meeting. And Lord, may you touch lives and hearts. Lord, may we give our all to you. And Lord, we just thank you for giving your all to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night as we were on our way home, we were talking about certain things about different cultures and different lands. He gave me an idea, and I asked the Lord if this would be what he'd have me to share with y'all tonight. I know we've shared about missionaries, we've shared about different ideas, and we've all spoke about go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. And when God calls us and we go, it's not always so easy to go, especially when we go to a foreign land. That's what I'd like to share with y'all tonight, some things that some missionaries have to go through when they go to a different land, and maybe help those that haven't gone yet to a foreign land and give y'all a better idea, somewhat a better idea of what I've learned within the past year, and I'm sure Billy and Cindy have learned also, and maybe some of you have been to a foreign land, but I know I had never been until the Lord called me, and I'd just like to share some of these things with you. When a missionary goes to a foreign country, wherever the Lord leads them to go, it's brought out that God doesn't really call us to a certain country, but he calls us to his work, and he leads us where he has us to go. And such as God led me to go to Mexico for this past year, and when I went, I didn't know the language at all. And it can be a very trying time for anyone that doesn't know any of the language. And they get there, and people are talking to them, and they're just in a state of confusion. But God gives us grace to be able to learn the language. He helps us, and it can be very, very, very discouraging. Language school, as we were talking today at lunchtime, it just seems like we never catch on, but one day you see that light and it just all seems a little bit clearer. Then you get onto another plane and you start climbing a few more hills and you feel like you haven't learned anything and everything's all backwards. But the Lord's gracious to bring us through it. He helps us to learn the language. And I can remember Brother George Crow telling me last year, he says, well, I have one on you, sister. At least I know the language, because he was going to Canada and they speak English, which is true, but he didn't know.
He doesn't know.
That's okay, Harley. None of us do. I found out how much English I didn't know when I started studying Spanish grammar. Didn't know what a verb even or a noun was. The most simplest things. But anyway, a missionary also has to find a new home and a new way of life in whatever country they go to. I'm going to just share some things based on Mexico, which would differ in different countries. But yet, their way of life there is quite different. Their homes are quite different. Of course, you can find some elegant homes like they are here. You can live in comfort if you want. And you can live just like an American here could live. But yet, you could also live on their level also. And you can become like the people. And it's hard to, I don't know what it'll be like in Indonesia. I don't know if y'all be living in huts or what. But at least in Mexico, they did have some nice homes. Their homes are different. Their rooms are smaller. Especially women that like big kitchens here. Their kitchens aren't very big. Cindy can tell you the sinks are real little in Guatemala. She does her dishes outside in the pila, so they're not as elegant as they are here, not as roomy and spacey. They also, most of the houses don't have air conditioning, which is a must here when you buy a house, or when you rent a house, you have to have air conditioning. They also don't have heaters. Of course, we'll be taking heaters down with us, but anyway, it's kind of cold there, and most of the homes don't have yards like they do here. The kids don't get out and play in the yards. They play mostly in the house and get in their parents' hair, but they don't have very much yards. Another thing that a missionary must do is learning the ways of the people and their culture, because as we were talking last night, our culture is very, very different than the cultures in Mexico or in Guatemala, or in Indonesia even. People can be very offended, which to us it wouldn't be offensive, but to them it's very, very offensive. Such as some little things, I'd just like to share some examples with you. When a person greets somebody in Mexico, they always shake their hands, and usually if you're really close, or if they've accepted you as a close friend, they kiss you on the cheek or whatever. Well, here, we're very, very casual. I had one of my teachers at school, which is the director of the school, so that she's met different people from all over the world, and that the Americans are the most unusual. That we're very, very cold people, that we're just so casual, you know. Like when we meet somebody, we say hello, or how are you doing today? But there, when they meet somebody, they make a big deal about it. They shake your hand and they hug you. And no matter how many times you see that friend a day, you always shake their hand. And I know we learned something in school is to always say good day to the teachers. Well, here when we go into our classroom, we just flop in our seats and open our books and get with the program for the day. But there you make a big deal about things, and that's just their culture. And if we want to work with the people, we have to learn their little ways that mean a lot to them, because we offend them. And I know I guess this past year I met at least 100 different missionaries. And I saw the struggles a lot of them had, and I'm just real thankful. I didn't learn everything, but God gave me the privilege to learn it with mixing with the people and them teaching me, because if I'd offend them, they'd tell me about it. And I'm sure some of them didn't have that opportunity. And also, one thing that really offended them, the Mexican people in Mexico, was speaking English in front of them, especially when they knew that we knew Spanish. And I know it was the same way here when I lived in the States. I worked for a company, and there was quite a few Mexican people working there, which, of course, here in San Antonio, it's about 60% Mexicans. And they would speak Spanish in front of me, and I couldn't understand them. And so I always thought they were talking about me, especially when they were laughing or something. And it's the same way with them, because they don't understand English, except I can understand when the Mexicans come up from Mexico to here, because they don't understand the Spanish here either, because they don't understand English, and the Spanish and the English mixture, they can catch the Spanish words, but not the English words. And so it's kind of confusing. But some other things that to us is we're very casual about is inviting people over. You know, we just call them up on the phone and say, hey, would you like to come over and have dinner with us tonight? Well, there you have to make a big deal about it, and you have to invite them quite a few times and really show them that you really want them to come, because if you invite them one time, well, they just think you're being nice. If you invite them twice, well, they think, well, maybe they might need it, but you have to invite them three or four times. Sometimes you have to go get them. You have the food sitting on the table waiting for them, and they still haven't come, and especially they're always late. When you want something done, make it about an hour earlier than what you really want it done. But you learn that. You learn their cultures, and something with serving their with having a big meal, the people there do not put all their food on the table and go around and just put food on their plates like our culture here. The women of the house or the daughters serve everyone's plates. And it wasn't any trouble for me to get used to it, because my table wasn't big enough to put stuff all on it. So I had to serve all the plates for them. But it's a custom for them. The women do serve the men there, and they serve their food in portions, or is that the right word? They serve them in courses, not portions, but in courses. They don't put everything on the plate at one time and just set it on the table. They give them their soup, and they usually have a soup first, and then they have their meat or their vegetables or whatever. But it's really interesting to get to know some of their cultures and some of their ways. Also, with coming to know the people, learning the ways about the people, there's also a different way of approaching the people with the gospel at times, because here in the States, we have a freedom of religion, and we can just approach somebody. What we were talking about today, cold turkey, just walking up and speaking to someone about Christ. Well, there in Mexico, I found that people have very much fear. It comes back from when the Spaniards went into Mexico and just overtook the Indians and made them accept the religion that they have now. And they have a fear because of the word Protestant means protest. And therefore, if they know you're a Protestant, they think you're protesting against their church. And they're taught in their religion not to speak to anyone else or to listen to anyone else about any other kind of religion. But the one thing that I came to find out was very effective, that I just told them I'm not teaching a religion, I'm just teaching about my Savior Jesus Christ. And it was an open door to be able to share Christ with them. We must also be able to find ourselves, as Brother Martin brought out last year, we must become like the people. We can't stay apart from the people and share Christ with the people. I found with quite a few of the missionaries, and I'm not picking on missionaries, it's just things that I learned this past year, that if we're trying to learn their language and trying to associate with the people, but yet staying in an English-speaking church all the time, we're not going to reach people that are lost in the church. And also, always being with Americans in a foreign country and not becoming a part of the people is going to hinder the ministry that Christ has for us to do. And they're going to see us always with Americans, but yet when we want to share Christ with them, then they're going to say, well, you know, why do you come to us now when you don't come to us any other time? And it's true, because I've seen it this past year, how it does hinder the ministry, and how some Americans think they're up here and the people are down here. God sees us all equal, and no one's any better than anyone else. And we have to show them that we're not any better. I had quite a few of them at the market when I'd go to buy something, always say, well, Americans have money, and they always give us a high price for things. But I found a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You don't have to turn to it. I'll just read it. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty may be rich. And one morning I was reading this before I went to school, and I saw this, that ye through his poverty may be rich. And they always think Americans are rich. And when I saw that verse, I thought, there's an open door, because when they talk to me about being rich, I can say, no, I'm not rich, but I've got something that I'm even richer about. I'm not rich here, but I'm rich in the world to come, and I'd like to share this richness with you. And it did. It was an easy way to open the door to speak to the people. It's a real blessing when the Lord gives us verses such as this. Also things in Mexico, and I'm sure sometimes here, but everything's mañana. And we as Americans always want things done yesterday. And we just have to learn that that's their ways, that they're slower about things than we are. And sometimes we have to keep pushing them and ask them to get this done and get that done. But we have to realize that that's their ways. And we're not there to Americanize them. We're there to become a part of them. We're there to share Christ with them. And we can't let this get to us, because I've seen how it gets to missionaries, and it just kind of gets under their skin, and it gives them a bitterness towards the people. Just little things like that can grow a bitterness inside a person, and it can draw them away from what God has them to do. It can be a big hindrance for them. And there are some things in Mexico that I learned that you have to be careful with the food that you eat there. You have to soak a lot of your vegetables and clean a lot of things. But to us here, it would be a lot of trouble, but after you get used to it, such as Billy and Cindy have to boil all their water in Guatemala. At least in Mexico, we got to buy bottled water. But these things are just small compared to the things that we have to learn. God promises in Matthew 28:20 that he is with us always. And we think sometimes that there's a big fear to go someplace. But yet, when we put our trust in Christ, this fear is removed. And of course we have our fears, our fleshly fears, but the Lord's with us to help us. Mrs. Weaver said the other night that she's afraid of snakes. Well, I am too. But God's going to be with you, and he's going to give you the strength where you fear. He's going to just lead us as he has us to go, and use us if we're just willing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Hold your finger on 2 Corinthians 4. But 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. And it's God's power that worketh through us, that we're able to share the gospel. In verse 3 in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost. But by God's power, it's not going to be hid. It's going to shine to him if we're just willing for God to shine through us. It says, in whom the God of this world, and who's the God of this world, which is Satan, as Brother Quetzales brought out, that Satan's making things look so good nowadays that people can't see their need for Christ. And they're just so wrapped up in the things that need to be done, as he was talking about the people on the expressway, that they're out going Christmas shopping or whatever, having their minds on their own things that have to be done. Which Satan is the god of this world, and he's blinded their eyes. He's made their ears deaf. And it says that which hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. And we have to realize that we can't go in our own strength. And if we're boastful of our own selves, as we were talking the other day about humbling ourselves before the Lord, we have to reckon ourselves as nothing. And it's so hard sometimes because that old flesh wants to say, oh, you're doing such a good job for the Lord. But it's not us doing a good job. It's the Lord doing it to us. But yet so many times we give ourselves the glory, but we should be giving God the glory. And I know myself that it's true. And you can think, well, how you being someone such a little person or something, how could you boast of yourself? But it's easy. It's easy because we just let our minds get off Christ. We let our eyes get away from Christ and turn them on to ourselves and wanting to please man. But also it says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That we're servants for Christ. We're servants unto the people. We have to serve him with the gospel. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's commanded us to shine the light. And if the light's not shined, someday, soon, hopefully, we're going to find out, you know, that it might have been our fault that we didn't touch somebody else. And it's going to be a sad day when we see people that could have been saved if we would have let the Lord use us. This is a verse that's very, very important to the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if God calls anyone here during this conference to go, I just plead with you to go because you lose out on many blessings if you don't go. Because I remember my father asking me about 2 weeks before I left last December, he sat me down and said, are you sure you're doing what you think is God's will? Or are you doing it because someone in the church wants you to go? And I said, no, Dad, I know that God wants me to go, and I'm going to go where he wants me to go, because I'd rather be off somewhere and be in the midst of God's will than to be here in the United States and be out of God's will. And it's true. But so many times we lose that vision and we think of, well, maybe it wasn't really true that God called me to go. Well, maybe it wasn't, because sometimes our callings are based on feelings. But if they're based on feelings, they're not going to last. And I learned that there in Guadalajara that, as Brother Carrizales brought out, that when a missionary is away from the fellowship that he's used to, sometimes it's very hard for him spiritually. And I learned that either you draw closer into the Lord, your spiritual life, or you fall away. There's no in between. Because it's either drawing unto him for the strength or turning to the world for the strength. And it's important to pray for the missionaries on the foreign field and for the missionaries here too. Because God has a work for each one of us. He's faithful to hold us all up. And he's a true and living God. And I just challenge your heart tonight, as I've just shared a few things with you, what a missionary has to go through to adjust to a different country, that you would pray for the other missionaries and that you would give that they'd be able to go. Because it's not always easy for a missionary to trust in the Lord to provide. But I'm very thankful that when I stepped out on faith a year ago, that God's provided for me each month. Each month there's a different person that supports me, and I praise the Lord for it. I thank him for providing, but sometimes it's hard. A missionary has to come back because their support falls. And we just ask for your many prayers, and I just pray that if God calls you to go. And he doesn't just call young people to go. He also calls older people to go. And to us, it would surprise us if the Lord called Brother Taylor or Brother Campbell or Brother Schreiner and his wife to go. We would just think, well, you know, we can't let them go, but no telling what God will do if we'll just let him use us.
Amen.